Good to have you back. It's well, I'm good to be back, I should say. He's gone nowhere. It's 27 minutes to 10 in Victoria. That's 27 to 8 in Western Australia. Thank you for your company. And are you a bridge player? I'm not, but I'd like to know a little bit about it. So that's why I've invited my next guest, who is a bridge player, lover and mentor, about the world of bridge and why it is the king of card games.
We are one, but we are many, and from all the lands of earth we come. We share a dream, and stick with one more.
You're listening to ABC Radio. David Astle on ABC Radio.
Bridge. I've mucked about with card games all my life. I'm not too dusty when it comes to Texas Hold'em. I understand the rules of that. 500, I played a lot at school, and I probably should have been listening to Mr. Dixon in economics. But 500, that's all. Just kid stuff when it comes and compares to Bridge, which many have say is the superior game of all card games. To tell us a little bit more and a whole lot more about the allures, the challenges and the benefits of Bridge, I'm now joined by Laura Ginnan, who's the Managing Director of RealDealBridge.com and probably got a hand of cards right there in front of her. Hi, Laura.
Hi, David. Good evening and thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And Bridge, I mean, how did you first come across the game? How did you cross into Bridge?
I started pretty young, actually. My grandma used to look after me after school, and a couple of times a week she wouldn't be home until 4:30, so that would be pretty late. And I asked her what she was doing, and she said she was off playing Bridge, and we played cards a lot, so of course I asked if she could teach me. She eventually agreed, and took a lot of time and a lot of patience. And she got there, and sort of throughout my primary school years, I was lucky enough to be able to get out of school once a month and head down to the local bridge club, have a game there, and school thought that was fantastic, and I did as well, who wouldn't like getting out of school, and it was pretty cruisy until I was about sort of 18 or so, and then I ended up taking it a lot more seriously from there. Eventually it overtook my love of chess, and here we are today. I work in Bridge, I married a Bridge player, and for fun I play Bridge.
So Bridge really has been your bridge into the world and your bridge into both the sort of social milieu as much as the thrill of the game itself. Can I just take a couple of steps back to that very first chapter you told us about when your grandmother taught you? I'm trying to work out what her reluctance was, or what was it difficult for you as a child to grasp something that, you know, a more senior and adept adult player would know that a child would struggle to understand?
I think a lot of existing bridge players find it pretty challenging to actually teach new players and really break it down sort of into that granular level and introduce concepts each at a time. And of course, being it's a four-player game, so a little bit more challenging with just the two of you, and even as an adult, it sort of takes probably about a year before you're playing sort of a decent game. So I'm pretty sure she probably thought I'd lose interest.
All right, so this is, I'm going to ask you to indulge us if you can, Laura, because I'm going to play the role of you in this and your grandmother, and I'm going to say, can you just tell me what the basics of the game are? Because there's plenty of people right across Victoria and WA who've heard the game and maybe even have brushed against the game, but don't quite know and understand the basics behind it. What's the premise of Bridge?
Yeah, so the premise of Bridge, we've got four people, we'll sit around a square table. And from there, we use a standard deck of 52 cards, so we get dealt 13 each. There's no jokers or anything like that. And basically, I'll work with the person sitting opposite me, and the other two players will work together as teammates as well. So from there, there's two stages. The first, we're basically in the betting stage, and you've essentially got a code, and basically you use that code to try to work out how your hands are going to interact together with you and your partner. And then you've got to decide if you basically want to make essentially a goal or a bet, which will apply in the second stage, or if you want to let the other partnership have that bet. And if they take it, your aim is to defeat them if you can.
It's lucidly explained, brilliantly, succinctly explained. I'm trying to work out what is it about the bidding stage that makes you a good bridge player?
Oh, I mean, there's numerous things. For a lot of it, I think it's having a really good foundation. One of the funny things is that even the most rudimentary of codes, because the codes can be as complex as you like or as simple as you like, but even the most simple of codes, if you've got a really good, strong foundation, can get you to the right spot most of the time, the very vast majority of the time.
Can you clarify what you mean by code there? Seems as though you're talking about sort of coded communication with your partner. Is that wrong?
Yeah, basically. So what happens is there's a series of bids, and essentially you and your partner can assign whatever meaning you like to those bids. And there's a few what we call basic systems, or you might want to think of them as a language, and they sort of form the foundation. But then what you can also start to include is what's called conventions, where basically you just start adding layers and layers of complex coding. And some people love their conventions. I think that their convention bucket overflows a little bit, and some people hate them and just keep it at that, do the basics.
Throw a convention at us, and I don't wish you to give away family silver here, but sort of portray sort of hard-earned code, sort of semaphore. But what's an example of a convention that might signal to a partner of where you're going in your strategy?
Yeah, so the other funny thing about it is that you can have any convention that you like, but you also have full disclosure to your opponents. Mm-hmm. So your opponents are entitled to know your code. And yeah, there's heaps of different conventions out there. I personally love transfers.
Which is?
Basically, I make my partner do things. I essentially get to tell my partner what to do. And the reason, it's not that I'm a control freak, maybe a little bit. But basically, they end up allowing you to have a whole heap of different layers and the way you go about things. And the context and the order of operations you choose gets to allow you to describe so many different things. I think they just add.
I can
really
see
nice.
Now why your grandmother was reluctant, because this is such a nuanced and rich world. It is so far away from the likes of, you know, Snap and Slap and Patience and 500 and even Texas Hold'em, which considers itself as being this sovereign of poker games. This is kid stuff compared to bridge. I'm wondering if you were a player out there, are you keen on the bridge? You are more than welcome to join us. 1300 222 774. You can text in as well on 0437 774 774. It's 19 to 10 in Victoria, 19 to 8 in Western Australia. And Laura Ginnan, who's a bridge player, she's based at realdealbridge.com. But also to keep in mind, there are plenty of federations and associations around the place, including Bridge Victoria, VBA, and Bridge Association of Western Australia, which is BAWA. Both will get you there to the sites in the respective states. And the Australian Bridge Federation too, if you're keen to know a lot more about conventions and codes and getting that no trumps win. So Laura, I sense that you've pretty much fleshed it out beautifully, I have to say, about the goal of the game, about the glossary of the game. What about the game itself? What is it that keeps coming back? You learned it as a teenager, and here you are now completely devoted to the game. Why is it continually alluring for you?
Yeah, there's so many reasons. One thing that happened when I was younger, I had a lot of interest in chess and softball, and my grandma always emphasised that I'll always be able to come back to bridge. And that's the case of bridge players throughout their life. They might play at university and then move into their careers and come back to it later, or it might not be until sort of you learn a bit, but it might not be till later in life that you really jump into it. And it's also the type of thing you can almost turn it off and then come back to it as well, which I think is fantastic. But for me, really, it's that you never master it. It's interesting having a think about sort of Scrabble and the idea of sort of getting to the point that it's only so many permutations with bridge. There's just so many layers. You could sort of work on those conventions that you play, or the other thing you can do, which I mean is really how I started to excel at bridge, is if you're sick of that partner, if you're stagnating, just find a new one. And that mixes it up a little bit, changes the interest. And for me personally, playing with a range of people who were really willing to take me under their wing a bit, I was able to pick up each of the really good parts from their game and hopefully be able to put them together to play a main game myself.
It's interesting. I mean, I did mention Scrabble with you when I chatted to you off air a few hours ago. And the one thing about Scrabble is that it's very much a solo game. The beauty of Bridge does seem to be that wonderful cognitive dance that you have with your partner. Do you think it would be the same if you were playing as an individual?
Definitely not. I think that the partnership aspect of it, and you can also play in teams. Teams is my favourite version. Just adds so much to it. You enjoy the good times together. You get to drown your sorrows after the bad times. And what's really important, and I think what also adds a lot to the bridge playing community, which is so vibrant and so caring and just a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Because there has been research that was done recently by an Israeli research group at the University of Haifa, looking at the kind of social benefits and the stress-busting benefits. For you, it's a case of, I'm sure, you know, the finding your tribe, finding your people must be one of the biggest pluses of the game.
Absolutely. And at this point, any time I can get away from my 2.5-year-old and 4.5-year-old to have a game of bridge, I'm very happy.
They're in bed now, I've got to say. Laura Kinnan is with us, realdealbridge.com. And tonight we are celebrating bridge. If you'd like to know about the various associations and clubs, just try your state Bridge Victoria or Bridge Association of WA. Tell us, I know that you've tucked away a few words too, which is makes this a little bit of a shop talk, but not a fully fledged one. What's a word or two that is unique to bridge or has a unique meaning in a bridge context, Laura?
Yeah, I've got a few for you. So the first one's just one you wouldn't hear in sort of any other context, I think. So at the bridge table, you might hear, are you the dummy? No, I'm the dummy. When are you ever going to hear that? And it's derived from the term of being dumb and not being able to speak.
And what does it mean? You can't enter the bidding.
Not quite. So bridge is quite unique in this aspect, and it sounds so silly when you hear it. But you've got your four players, you go through that bidding stage, and then the next stage is the card play. And for the most part, it's as though we each take a turn playing a card. And we play one card, we figure out who wins, then we do it again. And so we repeat that 13 times. But what ends up happening on every single bridge hand you play is that one player just puts all their cards up on the table for everyone to see, face up. And then their partner chooses what they do. They don't get to do anything other than essentially be the puppet, have their partner pull the strings, and they have to pick up the cards and play them, but they don't have any say in which cards.
Oh, right. So they've just been dummy. Not that that's a transitive verb, but for your partner to expose their hand is to make you the dummy.
Yeah. Well, the dummy's the one exposing. And yeah, declares the one who declares what they play.
Okay. Dummy is one word. And what about, what's another for us?
It's a pretty simple one here, duplicate. And the reason I really wanted to bring this one up is that there's a lot of people out there who probably play some card games with people, and there's notorious folk card games which say, oh, it's just the bad luck of the cards that I got. But in bridge, one thing that's fantastic is with duplicate scoring, although in the way the partnerships are sort of termed, I might be the North-South partnership, and it feels as though my opposition are the East-West partnership, the other people at the table. But what happens is that in a room, you'll have multiple tables playing, and essentially, you all play the same hand and score it as though the North-Souths are playing against the North-Souths. So if you get really good cards for the day, you're compared to all the people who have really good cards as well. Really bad cards, and this is where people really get an edge if they can concentrate. It's what you do with those bad cards, and as long as you can do better with those bad cards than everybody else.
Oh, that is brilliant. Oh, that's a great concept. You can't just complain about the kismet of the draw. you're up against people who've got an equivalent draw and who excels despite the, you know, the handicap of having sort of pretty lousy cards.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really good. That's a smart idea.
But my favourite term for you tonight was kibitz.
I think I know that one. Because it's a good Scrabble word, and I reckon it to be an annoying person or annoying habit when it comes to bridge playing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's derived from, you probably should take this one, go through what kibitz is as you know it, and then I'll put it in the context of bridge.
All right, and I think, I'm not quite sure of its direct meaning, but it's a sticky beak, really. It's someone who leans over your shoulder and says, why don't you play that card, or gee, I wouldn't have done that. Someone who intrudes, an interloper, who almost meddles and derails the game. That's my understanding of kibitzing and a kibitzer.
Yeah, so it comes from a Yiddish term, and it's really interesting because in the modern day, if you kibitz bridge, which basically means you watch bridge effectively live, what happens is you are not allowed to interact with the players at all. And a key part of the kibitz term is that you're interacting with the bridge players. And I was listening to a podcast, the Sorry Partner podcast, and found out that the history of kibitzing in bridge, they used to, before we could display things through the internet, or they even had radio broadcasting of bridge games back in the day, but before all that, you'd have everybody packed around this table watching the photos of cigars and all the, just these full rooms. I don't know how
the great chorus.
But there were three levels. You could be the kibitzer, where you were allowed to talk to the players. You could be the doritzer, who is allowed to talk to the kibitzer, but not allowed to talk to the players. Or you could be the sitzer, where you're not allowed to talk to anyone.
The kibitzer, the doritzer, and the sitzer. The three wise owls of the bridge circle. Laura Ginnan has been my guest. She's a bridge player. She's the managing director of Real Deal Bridge, which is there online. And also, too, if you'd love to know more about the world of bridge, if this has galvanised you to draw the cards and make the bid, look out for the Australian Bridge Federation, which is ABF, Bridge Victoria here in the East, that's VBA, and Bridge Association of WA, which is BAWA. Laura, really enjoyed the chat. Thanks for illuminating the game, and I look forward to moving beyond the dummy stage when I get the chance.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you at the bridge table soon.
Good on you. Thanks again, Laura.